describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for His name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatuck. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your people. We thank you for all that we felt, all that we've heard, all that is taking place to this point, God. We pray, God, that you would just open us up now and interject your word. Father, we thank you for healing, helping, and hearing us, Lord, during this time. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which it should write upon the word of faith. The word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we ask you now, Lord, that you would just have your way. Have your way till sinners are converted. Have your way to the discouraged or encouraged. Have your way, God, to the oppressed and the depressed. And Lord, and the perplexed, Lord, that they are delivered from whatever their ailments and whatever has them bound. Father, break every chain in the name of Jesus right now. Lord God, just have your way. Lord, after you've done all that you wanted to do and have after you healed and helped us and delivered us and picked us up and placed us in a place above the place that the enemy wants us to be, Father God, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, praise, and we'll magnify your holy name together. And Lord God, we'll join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You are holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now, and we praise your holy name. The matchless and magnificent and miraculous and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And the topic and title and thought for this message is Be Strong and Endure. Amen. I want to encourage you to be strong and to endure. That you got to please the one who chose you to be a soldier. So if he chose you to be a soldier, that means he chose you to battle because he knew you were capable. He chose you to battle because he knew that you would be able to endure, that you would be able to go through whatever it is that he's going to let come your way. Whatever war that he has, whatever war Satan tried to bring about, you'll be able to withstand the satanic forces of evil that come against you because you are empowered by God and you're able to endure hardness as a good soldier because you got on your helmet of salvation. You got on your breastplate of righteousness. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have your shield of faith and your sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And he didn't give you anything for the backside because he don't intend for you to run from the devil. He intends for you to stay forward. He intends for you to face your enemy, to face your trouble. Come on, to face your trial, to face whatever it is that the enemy put in front of you. I'm here to face it. Oh, come on and say amen. And when I faced it and I overcome it, he told me to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to what's before me and press toward the mark for the prize of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. Y'all still looking at me funny here. We got to understand that he didn't give us anything to cover our backside because our backside is already covered. David said, goodness and mercy shall you got goodness and mercy following you all around all the days of your life. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. I believe we have some live ones in here today, Lord. Oh, he says now, he says that in verse number 5, he goes on and he starts to tell us, he says, if any man strive for masteries, the word masteries mean, is the Greek word stephanos, and it means to a crown. If any man strive to be crowned, it's a victor's crown. If any man strive to have a victor's crown, if you strive for victory, if you want to have victory, anybody want to have victory other than me? He said, if you strive for victory, he said, you can't get your crown except you strive lawfully. In other words, you need to know what's right. You got to do it right. You can't break the rules and win this thing. You can't do it any other way. You got to do it the way the rule maker made the rules, and you got to follow his rules. You know how when we run a race, you got to stay in your lane. Amen. You got to stay in your lane. Tell somebody, stay in your lane. God has put some boundaries around you that'll keep you in your lane. And if you just run your race with patience, oh, come on and say amen. It's too many of us running outside of our lane. Too many of us wanting to quit in the middle of the lap. Come on and say amen. Too many of us let the monkey jump on our back, and we got to stop that. We got to pace ourselves and endure hardness as a good soldier. We got to make sure that as I'm running, that I'm not going to let this monkey get on my back. Because I've been training for this day. I'm not just going to hop in a race and I haven't trained. I'm not going to just get in a race and I haven't did anything to discipline myself. And what that means is that you got to discipline yourself. You got to stop eating some things. You got to stop drinking some things. You got to stop doing some things in order for you to get in shape for the race. And God is telling us that no man that run a race, you'll get in that race knowing you out of shape, knowing that you ain't got no win. Come on and say amen. But you got to strive lawfully. You got to do it in the right way. You got to go by the rules of the coach. Who is my coach? The Holy Ghost down on the inside of me. He lets me know, don't do this. He lets me know, stay in this lane. He lets me know, watch this. He lets me know, don't look who's behind you. Look at what's before you. Preach in this house. I amen myself because I can't get no amens today. But he tells us, he says that if you're going to be crowned, if you're going to have victory, you got to do it like the Lord said, do it. And I'm here to let you know that I don't care what the enemy say. I don't care what the street committee say. I don't care what he say and she say and us and I heard they say. But I'm here to let you know that if you do it the way the Lord said do it, that you're going to win. And one thing to keep in mind, that this race that we're running, it is not a sprint. Come on and say amen. It is a marathon. So it doesn't matter if you come in first. But what matters is if you finish it. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to be like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only to me, but everybody that finishes with me. I wish I had somebody. Verse 6 says to be engaged. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm sorry. Trying to get out. Okay. He says, the verse 6 tells us to be engaged, because he begins to talk about, you know, those who can't understand running because you ain't never did it. Maybe you're kind of a Grecian type people that you know how about planting. Because this is the season, if you hadn't noticed, this is the season for us to begin to sow seed. All right. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. The word labor means to labor or to work until you're weary, until you're almost to the point that you can't stand up. That's labor. Now I know some of us say, I've been working hard and look like I ain't getting no progress, but a husbandman, a farmer, understands that when you put the seed in the ground, you can't worry about it. And you can't see it growing because it grows down first. Y'all not with me here. So you've been worried about when is this thing going to come to fruition. And what it's been doing, it's been growing down first. Oh, my God. Then it's going to come up. But he tells us the husbandman that he engages himself in this labor so much that he gets up before sunrise and he doesn't stop till sunset. You got to put some time in. Oh, come on, put in some work and do. And he says that he, the husbandman, that means the farmer, or the one who is engaged to take care of whatever he puts out there. See, you ought to be engaged to make sure that whatever you put out there, you're going to oversee to make sure it happens. If you put your word out there, make sure you be there when you say you're going to be there. Come on and say amen. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Amen. He said that labor must be the first partaker of the fruit. He said, if you work, you're going to be the first one to get, you're going to be the first one to reap the benefits of it. I don't know about you, but we, you know, I put in some work. Amen. And I'm not bragging on what I've done, but what I'm saying is that I know that this works, and you become the first partaker of the fruit because you're the first one to see it come up. When nobody else is paying attention, you out there looking, you say, oh, I got a harvest coming. When nobody else sees it, you say, oh, my God, I'm so thankful, and I'm already thinking about who I'm going to bless with this harvest. Oh, come on and say amen in this house. And so you got to start seeing for yourself. See, the farmer goes out there, and he puts it in the ground, and he has faith that God's going to give some rain, and he's going to give some sunshine, and he's going to receive a harvest. But when we put something in the ground, we keep digging it up to see what it's doing. You got to stop. Come on, tell somebody, quit digging it up. Quit digging it up. We keep digging it up to see if it's doing anything. But let me tell you something about a seed. If you put a seed in the ground, you know, a seed, can you can put it on a shelf and it won't do nothing. It'll just sit there on the shelf. But then as soon as you put it in the ground, it begins to germinate. It begins to break up. And it begins to grow out. It's something about being put in the ground. But the other thing is that when you fertilize it with manure and things like that, it begins to grow. And in order for a farmer, look at this, the husbandman labor. What is he laboring in? He's laboring in mess. Y'all don't hear me. Sometimes I got to labor through mess. I got to put this dung on there. I got to put some manure. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I got some mess that I got to go through. I got some mess sometimes get on me. I got some mess just so that I can watch this harvest come. Just so I can watch this seed grow. I got to get in this mess. Oh, come on and say amen here. Come on, put your mess shoes on and walk through this mess with me. Put your mess clothes on and walk through this mess so that when we come out of this mess, when I go to town to show them what I got, I ain't got to wear my mess clothes no more. Yeah, come on and say amen. When I put my mess clothes on, don't nobody know but the folks that's right there with me in the mess, because they messed up too, preaching this house. And since they messed up, they ain't got no room to talk about my mess, because they got mess on them too. But when we get a harvest, we can put our clean clothes on and we can walk up and say, see what the Lord has done. And see, people see the glory, but they don't know the story of the mess that you had to dump. The mess that you had. I'm gonna quit preaching. I'm just, my God. But I gotta be engaged. I got to be willing to endure the mess. Y'all with me? Are you willing to endure the mess? The mess don't smell good. The mess don't even look good. Oh, Lord. Let me go on. Verse 7 brings us to, after we engage, he says that you'll be enlightened. Look at verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Notice what Paul said. He didn't say the Lord give you an understanding. I keep running back to that because we got to get in our head that the only understanding is how God understands things. And we have to be in tune with how he understands, because then my opinion don't mean nothing, because I just know what God said. And even the doctor's opinion won't mean nothing when you know what God. Y'all with me? Well, you know what God said. The people's opinion about you don't mean anything when you know what God said. So I understand now. And he says, if you consider what I say, all the stuff that I'm saying, if you consider that you need to be empowered and be strong in the Lord and endure hardness as a good soldier and not to be entangled with this world and to labor or to run your race and stay in your lane and do it lawfully. Don't break the rules and then be like a husbandman that waits on the harvest and you'll partake in it. If you hear what I'm saying and consider it, the Lord will give you understanding in everything that you encounter. There's going to be some stuff that you encounter that the Lord is going to enlighten you about, and he's going to keep you from complaining while you go through it, because he's letting you know that I'm just taking you through this so I can bless you. I just brought them in your life to talk about you so that they can publicize who you are, so people, when they see you down, they'll know when I pick you up and put you up there, they'll be able to say, is that the same person? Oh, that they must have been lying on him, because there ain't no way he can still be doing this and have been doing that. Y'all don't hear me in here. Oh, yeah, he said, let them see you burning. Hey, let them see you in the fire rather than burning. Let them see you in the fire, because when you come out, you'll be like pure gold. I wish I had somebody in the house Let them see you go through. Let them see you deal with your trouble. Let them see you with tears in your eye, because he'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll give you joy in the midst of sorrow. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Oh, yeah, he'll make your heart glad. Consider his ways. Consider what he says. He said, and the Lord will help you to understand why you're going through what you're going through. The Lord helps us to understand that what I'm going through, I won't be like this always, because I'm going through it so I can learn a lesson of value. I'm going through it so I can learn a lesson of friendship. I learn a lesson of love. I learn it's something that I'm understanding while I'm going through. That's why he tells us in Proverbs that in all thy getting, get understanding. We need to get understanding in everything that we go through. I'm getting something out of everything I go through. How do you know? Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I know that what I'm going through is working for my good? Oh, come on. If you don't know it right now, you need to start declaring it until you believe it, that what I'm going through is working for my good. I don't know how it's going to work, but I do know the person that's going to make it work. Oh, who is the person? If God be for us, then who can be against? It's not important for you to know how it's going to work, but you need to know who's going to make it work. Do you know who it is? I'm talking about Jesus now. We need to know that he's going to make it work for our good. Come on and say amen in here. And then he goes on to say in verse number 8, he begins for verse number 8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David. He's still talking about the seed and how the seed was raised up from the dead according to his good news or his gospel. And when we get to verse 9 through 13, he's talking about his experience. Amen. He's talking about how he interprets this word. He says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, that if God could raise him from the dead, what about what you're going through? If God can do that kind of miracle, if God can raise somebody from the dead, then what about what you're going through now? Can God work it out for you? Can God help you through it? If God can take you through it, you know what? He can bring you through it. I wish I had somebody. Don't complain. Don't just go through. Grow through. Come on and say amen. I'm growing through my trial. I'm growing through my tribulation. I love the thing about the seed, because you put the seed under the ground and the ground may be 30, 40 pounds of manure on top. But if you just wait a little while, somehow it begin to grow through the mesh. It begin to grow through whatever you put on top of it. I wish I had somebody. I came to let you know that you like a seed, that no matter what they put on top of you, that you'll come out of it. Amen. That I'm telling you, you're like a seed, because you know when you take grass seed and you put concrete on top of the dirt, if there's a crack in the concrete, here comes the grass. And you see, the Bible says that a man's life is like grass. See, I just keep growing. I may look fragile to you, but I can come through concrete. I may look fragile to you, but I can grow through whatever. I can grow through the bricks. I can grow through the wall, because God has made me like that. I wish I had somebody. He said, just remember what I said. Remember the gospel that I preach. You got to remember the good news. Somebody need to know the good news. So what is it about the good news? The good news is that the bad news is wrong. I know they said all the bad stuff, but let me tell you about the good stuff. The good news is the death, the life, the death, and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in number 9, he said, wherein I suffer trouble. In the good news, I suffer trouble. He said, wherein I as an evildoer, he said, unto the bonds that I am delivered to. He said, but the word of God is not bound. In other words, I may be bound up in some stuff. I may be going through some thing. I may be in the hands of man right now. See, a man may have your situation, and he may be saying he can control your life. But the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it whatever way he wants. Do I have a witness in here? The Bible tells us that. And so when he says in his word, he said that the word of God is not bound. They can try to bind you up, but it's As long as you got a word, you can get free from the bondage. As long as you got a word, no matter what the enemy comes to bring in your life, you still can be free. Because when I speak the word of God will free me up. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Remember Paul and Silas was in the Philippian jail, and at midnight they begin to sing and pray, and the Bible says that the doors were open to them and all the other prisoners. Let me get another witness here. The Bible said Peter was put in jail, and the Bible says that the doors of the prison, when the angel of the Lord came in, opened up like Walmart. He didn't have to turn a knob, but it just opened up to him. I wish I had somebody. You see, when you got the word of God down on the inside, doors will begin to open, and you ain't got to reach and extend your hand when you got the word of God. Let me tell you what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He said, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Do I have anybody that say, I got the word? They got the word. Somebody say yes in here. We got to have some experience. I got some experience with the word. That's what Paul tells us in 9 through 13. Here's my experience, what I have. I suffer trouble because of the word. I'm in bonds because of the word. But I'm all right because of the word. How many can say I'm all right? They lied on me, but I'm all right. They talked about me like I had a tail, but I'm all right. They wanted me to fail, but I'm all right. The enemy came in like a flood, but I'm all right now because the Spirit of God lifted up a standard. Y'all don't have to pray with me because I'm all right. Somebody say yes and give God some praise. But then he goes on to say in verse number 10, he said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He said, the reason why I'm going through is because of all of you. I go through for somebody else. See, your gifting, your anointing, the pressing that you go through, it's not all about you. It's about somebody else. It's so that you can be a witness to let somebody know, I was once sick, but God healed my body. I was lied on, but God picked me up. When people wrote me off, God wiped me off. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and shout glory and give God some praise. I need somebody in here to be a witness and say, every time I turn around, I don't know which way to turn. If you don't know which way to turn, just turn anyway. Every time I turn around, the Lord, say the Lord, keeps on blessing me. Somebody say yes here. I got some experience, so I can tell you all about it. Look at what Paul says. He said, I obtained a salvation and eternal glory. I got salvation, even though they got me in these chains. I'm still free. Even though I owe somebody some money, I'm still free. I wish I had somebody. Paul said this. He said, if you be dead with him, you'll also live with him. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to shame. I'm dead to the world. But I'm going to live because I'm living with Christ. Do I have any witnesses? Say yes here. But then look at verse 12. He said, if we suffer, we shall reign. What is Paul saying here? He's telling us again that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I don't know about you, but I've been through some stuff. I've been through the storm and rain, had some heartaches and pains, but I came out. I came to let you know that it's going to be all right. Say, it's going to be all right. He said, I'll reign with him. But then he goes on to say, if you deny him, He'll deny us. But I like verse number 11. He said, it is a faithful saying that for if we be dead with him, we'll also live with him. But then in verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. I begin to wonder about it. You see, I'm not going to deny him and backslide this thing. He said, but even if we can't help it, even if we get to messing up, it don't change who God is. Come on and shout yes. Now this is the part where you ought to be ready to shout. So it doesn't matter how we do it. God is still a healer. He's still faithful. Doesn't matter how we do it. God is still a deliverer. He's still faithful. It doesn't matter how we do it. God is still a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have anybody that say, I believe that God is still faithful. He can't deny himself. So when I'm in the midst of my mess and I say, God, you are a deliverer, he'll pick me up. If he have to reach way down, he'll pick me up, turn my life around. David said it like this. He picked me up out of the miry clay, placed my feet on a rock to say, do I have anybody? Say, do I have anybody on this side of the room that say, God is faithful. I haven't been what I should be. I've doubted him sometimes, but he still came up and he helped me out. Do I have any people? If I could just get three more, we can have some church in this house. Do I have anybody that said, I know I deserve a whole lot worse than I got, but God is faithful. I wish I had somebody that said he can't deny himself. What does that mean? When he looks at me, he looks at himself. I wish I had somebody. I'll come on and shout glory. Come on and give God praise. Y'all stay with me. Give me some short licks. Oh, come on and give him glory. Come on and give God praise. What are you talking about? When God looks at me, he looks at himself. Well, the Bible says that he's like a silversmith, that when he refines silver, do you know how they do it? They turn up the heat. That's your fiery trial. You are the silver. I wish I had somebody. And God is the silversmith. He turns up the fire. It gets so hot that all the impurities begin to float to the top. They call that dross. And when it begin to float to the top, the silversmith, he takes a cup and he skims it out and throws it away. I wish I had somebody. See, you got a lot of lying in you. So he turns up the heat and he dips the line out. You got a lot of cussing in you. So he turns up the heat. Then he dips it out and he throws it away. You got a lot of backbiting, a lot of gossiping in you. So he turns up the heat and he dips it out. I think y'all got it now. And he throws it away. He don't remember what he took off of you because he's too busy looking at you. And it is said that when the silversmith can see a perfect reflection of himself, like looking in a mirror, he turns off the heat and he said, I can use it because it's the purest form. Do I have anybody that said the Lord turned the heat up? But he skimmed off the mess. And when he looks at me, he looks and sees himself. That's what the scripture means. When he can't deny himself, he looks at me with my messed up self. But when he sees me, he sees me through the blood. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Why does he see me? Through the blood, because Jesus came, hung, bled, and died, didn't say a word, took him off the cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. Why was it borrowed? He only needed it for the weekend, because early Sunday morning, he got up.
with all power. Anybody know this power? Power to resurrect you. Power to save you. Power to heal you. Do I have anybody? Anybody know, won't he do it? I'm about to go to my seat, won't he do it?